Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is Thursday, July 20th, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm in Maine. I'm looking over the most beautiful, glorious lake you can imagine. I'm headed to New Hampshire tomorrow, then on to New York City for a week. Then I'll be back in Hickory Valley and then out again to Europe. Our July 2nd wrap-up web presentation is completely done. There are a lot of great extras, including long-term trends and Salieri core concepts. Very helpful for newcomers, so I would recommend, particularly if you're a new subscriber. And the final part of the second quarter wrap-up rolls out next week. Obviously, part two tonight, great discussion with Joseph Farrell on the rest of news trends and stories. And then next week, equity overview with Rambus's blockbuster Chartology, and that will close it out. We hope to have a PDF for you by the end of the month and then hard copy in the beginning of August. Our theme tonight is Where is the Money? We put up a great commentary called Supporting Documentation, DOD and HUD Missing Money Supporting Documentation, with the help of Dr. Mark Skidmore from Michigan State University. We've gotten that all loaded up, and this week we put up links as well to the documents on DOD and HUD's website, so you can get them. We have them duplicate of copies on the Salieri server, and that seems to be getting a lot of traction. It's suddenly, when you get all the documentation in people's face, they're beginning to realize, oh, this is real. I also did an interview on SGET Report last week. I published it up at Salieri this week, and then USA Watchdog this week. The title that Greg Hunter put on the interview was, We Need Our $40 Trillion in Stolen Cash Back. And then we made a great cartoon, a Salieri tune for the second quarter wrap-up called Enforce the Constitution. We put that up on the homepage so you can send it far and wide. Anyway, lots and lots of discussion about trying to get people to understand the extent of the money that's been siphoned off through the back door and the importance of doing something about it. The reason we did what we did on the second quarter wrap-up was to show you that government's not going to fix it. Trump's not going to fix it. Bernie Sanders is not going to fix it. You and I are going to fix it. And we can. If you look at the ideas under Enforce the Constitution, there's many, many things we can do. And all we each need to do is to do that which we can do. And if we all do that which we can do, we can indeed turn this around. To give you a great example, one of our subscribers sent a letter to a state legislator. It's up on the website called Enforce the Constitution, Don't Call for a Convention. That's what we need. We need you all getting on the phone and talking to your state legislators about not calling for a convention, instead calling for an enforcement. And there's a ton of ideas you can give them. Anyway, just remember, freedom is an inside job, and you need to do something. One thing we can all do is support Cynthia McKinney. I put out a call in last week's update and this week's update to donate to her cause, which I have done. Interestingly enough, I got a response back to the Salieri update last week saying, I'm unsubscribing to Catherine's commentaries. Cynthia McKinney is not my idea of a constitutionalist. What has she been drinking? And from a guy named Paul, and I wrote back as follows. Paul, we will remove you from our list. However, you clearly do not understand either the Constitution and or McKinney's record. Which congressman has tried to do something about the missing money? McKinney and Alan Grayson. See? Then I sent the documentation. Which congressman has spoken publicly about dual citizenship and the profound conflicts of interest? McKinney. Who has demanded an explanation in congressional testimony from the Secretary of Defense on the record about war games on 9/11 and sex slave trafficking by DOD contractors? McKinney. There is over $11.5 trillion missing from the federal government. What have you done? What has your congressman done? What has your senator done? What have you done about that? I bet the answer is nothing. McKinney has done plenty, so she will continue to have my support. Now, am I being a little bit too harsh? No. We are down to a situation where whether it's the pension funds, whether it's health care, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's tax reform, we are watching financially and spiritually and legally a moment of accountability. And either we turn this thing right or it's going to go on the wrong way. If you look at the speeches I've been getting promoting the Constitutional Convention, they're frightening. Everything from, oh, it'll be so creative to tear up the Constitution and redo it. We can build it all from scratch. Isn't that really fun and exciting? To clueless that the way to enforce the Constitution is to have a Constitutional Convention. It's unbelievable. Money and markets. The U.S. dollar now down at 94.59. Of course, it's above that 92 line, which is so important. It's now down 7.5% for the year. Fixed income is doing well. The interest rates, long interest rates, are coming back down by a small amount, back to where we sort of, actually below where we started the year. They started the year, the long 20-year rate at about 2.78 and ran up a little bit higher and then came back down. Is now coming back down again. TLT, the long treasury ETF, up 6.38% for the year. The intermediate up almost 3% for the year. The bond aggregate up almost 3% for a year, a little bit lower than the intermediate treasury. And junk, God, flying at 5.5%, go figure. Big issue, of course, in the markets is what the Fed will do with the bonds they've put on their balance sheet, and then what will happen when the ECB stops buying bonds. I've put up several articles if you want to look at, but clearly the Fed and the ECB have been very big buyers, and the question is, what's going to happen? Now, I think the Fed is just going to write the bonds off, because I think they bought a lot of fraudulent paper. I think they write them off into the dividend flow that goes to Treasury, and it's another way of doing it through the back door. It's exactly what they used to do. On the single-family FHA, Mutual Mortgage Insurance Fund, is basically siphon off the dividends through the back door. Equities were coming into earnings season, and the equity markets last Friday, Wall Street hit new highs as the tech market breached the dot-com era record. The S&P now up 11.5% for the year. Home builders up even more, 14%. The European ETF up 20.5%. Germany up 19%, almost 20%. Developed markets minus North America up 17.5%. So clearly the developed G7 outside of U.S. doing better. China up 22%. Both large caps, small caps up a tiny bit more, 22.3, and emerging markets flying at 25.3%. Commodities now down, the commodity index down 7.33%. Gold is now up almost 8% for the year. Silver rallied a little bit, so it's up 2% for the year, and oil still in the doghouse, down 22.27%. Well, needless to say, the U.S. foreign relations aren't better in any respect under Trump. U.S. and China trade talks have broken up. They were abruptly canceled, they ended. The press conference was canceled. There was no joint statement. Part of the problem is China hasn't brokered a deal with North Korea, and there's real issues about U.S. and Chinese steel and production and consumption. So, not good news. What is good news is President Trump is ending a covert CIA operation to arm and train Syrian rebels fighting against Assad, and that is something the Russians have long desired. It appears, well, the military has wanted this for a while, so that's not new, but it looks like it's part of the results of the interaction with Putin at the G20 summit in Hamburg. It's interesting, of course, the U.S. and Russia coming out of that discussion struck a deal for a ceasefire, and Israel's being very grumpy about it, so we'll see what happens. There's a remarkable post that I put up on the top picks about what Americans care about, and comparing it to the media coverage time in the corporate media. It was using an analysis of ABC, CBS, and NBC, not even including CNN. But let me show you what it looks like. If you look at the top issues for America, the top issue is healthcare at 35%. The time coverage it's getting in the media was 4%. How about that? Jobs were 13%. The coverage in the media is 1%. Terrorism was 11%. The coverage given in the media was 6%. Immigration was 10%. The coverage given in the media was 0%. Taxes was 4%. The coverage given in the media was 0%. And are you ready for this? Russia was 6%, and the coverage given in the media was 75%. So Americans don't care about Russia. Americans don't care about Russian interference, and yet the media is spending 75% of its time on that. It really tells you something. What it tells you is the media is designed to, as I've said for a while now, get ratings, getting attention on things that keep people away from looking at the budget and the money issues. Healthcare costs money. The kind of investment we need that creates job costs money. Tax reform costs money, and essentially the leadership doesn't want to share any of the money with the general population. In fact, we see the Midianite dynamic clearly expanding. So let's turn to the budget. We have multiple budget crises looming, and part of the problem is the pie is shrinking. In fact, if it wasn't for the pedophilia and control files in place that is keeping everybody in line, the fighting would be much worse because the pie is shrinking. So we see this week the Republican healthcare effort looks like it's flopped. McConnell hasn't given up entirely, but essentially the healthcare financial and special interests can make more money leaving the current plan in place. So they're going to run it out as long as they can. Meantime, even the Republican defense increase is flopping. The leader for the biggest increases was not the president, it was McCain. The president came out with a budget increase of $57 billion. McCain doubled down with an increase of $109 billion. And interestingly enough, we see the latest news. Senator McCain now has brain cancer, according to the Mayo Clinic, where he was visiting out in Arizona. Interestingly enough, if you look at the kind of cancer he has, it's the kind that forced the World Health Organization to reluctantly classify mobile phone radiation as a possible human carcinogen. So it's interesting. Jason Bowden-Smith sent me an article indicating, are you ready for this? Verizon delivered a portable tower known as Cell Site on Wheels free of charge to the McCain property in June 2007 after the Secret Service began inquiring about improving coverage in the area. In July, AT&T followed suit, wheeling in a portable tower for free to match Verizon's offer. This is an unusual situation, AT&T spokesman Claudia B. Jones said. You can't have a presidential nominee in an area where there is not cell coverage. So maybe Senator McCain would have been better off not getting those cell towers on his property. So the question, of course, is this natural or not, or does somebody want McCain out of the way? We'll just have to see what happens, depending on who replaces him. This could decrease chances of war with Russia. But it's interesting, even The Economist is saying no big increase for military. So it looks like Trump and McCain are going to strike out, and that's very interesting. It tells you the budget problems are as serious as I've been saying they are for a long time. If we're seeing sort of the powers that be face reality on that question. Interestingly enough, this is not the only time that Mayo Clinic has been in the news this week. Elizabeth Beck, who she and her husband Jared are lawyers in the lawsuit against the DNC. One interview of Elizabeth Beck on InfoWars tagged Mayo Clinic as being involved in the investigation, both the DNC and the Clinton Foundation. Big questions more against organ harvesting out of Haiti. I'm sure it's interesting to watch the Becks in interview. I'm sure when they first brought their lawsuit against DNC, they had no idea of the kind of criminality that this was going to dip into. The endless agony continues. Now, Mueller, the special prosecutor, or special counsel, is saying he's going to expand his probe into the Trump business transactions. Trump's lawyer says this goes beyond Mueller's mandate. I couldn't agree more. Trump, clearly frustrated, started lashing out and saying he would never have appointed Sessions if he'd known he was going to recuse himself. Sir, what this indicates is not good. It looks like Trump has lost control of the Department of Justice. That's very dangerous for Trump. One guy from the National Review tweeted out, he's setting the stage to potentially replace his AG and fire Mueller. Here's the right thing for the country. The right thing for the country is, in fact, to replace Sessions and fire Mueller. We've had enough of this. If you look at what Sessions has been doing since he's got there, he's been increasing the war on drugs, increasing prisons and private prisons, and now he's increasing civil forfeiture. I'll talk about that in a second. That's why you need to care who your sheriff is, because remember that your sheriff has jurisdiction in your county superior to the federal government. And if you look at what Sessions has just done with respect to civil forfeiture, he's rolling back the reforms that the Obama administration had started. Let me just read you this from Zero Hedge. Between 1989 and 2010, U.S. attorneys seized an estimated $12.6 billion in asset forfeiture cases. The growth rate during that time averaged 19.4% annually. In 2010 alone, the value of assets seized grew by 52.8% from 2009 and was six times greater than the total for 1989. Then by 2014, that number had ballooned to roughly $4.5 billion for the year, making this 35% of the entire number of assets collected from 89 to 2010 in a single year. According to the FBI, the total amount of goods stolen by criminals in 2014 burglar offenses suffered an estimated $3.9 billion in property losses. That means American citizens are losing more to civil forfeitures than they're losing to burglars. And that means the sheriff of Nottingham is getting a lot more dangerous than the criminals. So why would Sessions roll back the civil forfeiture reforms and make it easy for U.S. attorneys to adopt cases teed up by state and local government? My guess is we're coming into a period where, whether Puerto Rico, Detroit, Illinois, we're going to see the bondholders able to assert jurisdiction and control within places, and there's going to be radical reengineering. And if developers want the land and assets necessary, yes, they've gotten control of a lot of land as a result of the bump and dump in housing market. But if you're going to do highly specific deals in highly specific places, having these tools is going to be very useful to being able to get the land and assets you want to accumulate and take positions and do radical reengineering of places. We published a new of our twice a month column, Food for the Soul, by Your Culture Scout. This one is reviews of two movies, 13 Minutes and Dunkirk. I want you to check out these columns. Again, they're going to be twice a month. Our goal is to inspire you to enjoy the many great cultural offerings that we have access to. It's one of the many blessings, and Your Culture Scout finds some great ones. Okay, crowdfund update. We had a wonderful prior donor put up a match for phase three. So we only have 1600 to go until we hit our budget total, and I'm going to put out an update to those of you who are crowdfund donors next week. So keep an eye out for an email update. We've updated the website so you can see where we are. We expect the Joseph's organ to be delivered sometime before the end of the summer. I'm hoping before Labor Day. And I'm hoping to go over and check it out as soon as it comes anyway. But I'll keep you posted. But look for that. If you're a donor, look for that update next week. I've been having a lot of zero integrity discussions on cryptocurrency. We're in the middle of a giant pump. Bitcoin hit 3,000, then soared down to 2,000, and then is now headed back up this week. It's up over about $500 in a week's time. And so the price is skyrocketing. And the reality is when you get these kinds of skyrocketing, when people are desperate and not seeing a lot of hope from a lot of directions, and you add in what I think is probably a major entrainment, you get some pretty low integrity true believers. Just really be careful. We've seen, I put up several articles, 33 million got lost in a hack. 7 million got lost in a hack with cryptocurrencies. So as this thing pumps and dumps, we're seeing a lot of money one, James Quaid, who's been writing a series for the Salary Report, described it as the equivalent of putting baby ducks in a pond where, you know, filled with predators. So just be very, very careful, as we discussed in the Salary Report we did on Bitcoin. Please make sure to hold your Bitcoins or your cryptocurrencies in an offline wallet, and just be very, very careful about what you do. And please don't put any money in this that you're not prepared to lose. Our hero tonight is Congressman Alan Grayson, who served as the U.S. Representative for Florida's 9th Congressional District and Florida's 8th Congressional District. He then ran for Senate and lost in the primary, ultimately to the person who lost to Mario Rubio. He is one of the representatives who's done the most on the missing money, and he's featured in the video that is in the commentary on supporting documentation for the undocumentable adjustments. I would encourage you to take a look at him. Also, a fearless voice during the bailouts, and somebody I would also love to see run again. Let's go to the movies. I wanted to mention The Founder. It's a new movie on how milkshake equipment salesman Ray Kroc built McDonald's. It's a pretty famous business story. The reason I wanted to point it out to you is it has a great line, and it's worth watching in the whole movie. A pretty smart business guy gets a hold of him when he's floundering and says, "You're not in the burger business, you're in the real estate business." And as you drive around the country and look at a lot of businesses that you think are in the coffee business or in the burger business, what you need to realize is many of them are in the real estate business. It's one of the great secrets of the building of America, that much of what happens and goes on in business is a justification to pay the leases. And in fact, what you're watching is a giant real estate business. And that's why I think Sessions' rollback on the war on drugs, on prisons, and on the civil forfeiture is so interesting. Because I do think you have a lot of people coming in to play disaster capitalism on municipalities around America. It's something we're going to keep talking about a lot here. Our interview this week is Dr. Joseph Farrell. It's the second part of News Trends and Stories. And we go through all the sections of News Trends and Stories that we didn't touch on last week. If you haven't heard last week's, I would encourage you to listen to that first before you listen to part two. But very rich discussion with Joseph this year, and I'm always deeply appreciative of his participation. There's so many great things in this second quarter wrap-up. Let me just go over some of them. In addition to News Trends and Stories, we have the Salary Tune on Enforce the Constitution, a section on how you can enforce the Constitution. You and I are going to have to do this. We can't wait for government. Government's not going to do it. We're going to have to do it. So many great ideas. Pick out one or two that you are comfortable doing and do what you can do. And, of course, our discussion with Cynthia McKinney on the importance of that. And the transcript is up. We also, to help with News Trends and Stories, put up long-term trends to help you revisit trends that Joseph and I have been talking about for many years. It really helps screen out a lot of the noise on the news. Then Salary Core Concepts, in response to many requests we've gotten from new subscribers, it's summaries of many of the most important concepts we use to cover current events with links to Salary Reports. It'll help you understand more. And then we updated our listing of space companies. I continue to think that space companies, companies involved in space, are going to outperform against the general market, and we've organized them into stocks that trade on U.S., European, or Asian stock markets, as well as private companies. And of course, we'll be doing financial markets, and the charts are up. We also had an update on our Trump report card from the first quarter. So again, the web presentation is done. It's fantastic. Lots of great resources. And I hope you'll access it as you're listening to part two of News Trends and Stories with Dr. Farrell. Okay, ask Catherine a lot of great questions. Good day, Catherine. Great interview with SG Report and Greg, as always. Please listen to Wayne Jett on Sarah Westall.com or her YouTube channel. Very interesting. You may want to have him as a guest. Okay, I will take a look. Thanks for that. Hi, Catherine. Thank you and your amazing Solari team for continuing to be a beacon of light. And then there's a lot of information about the struggle with 5G in California. And then the LA Times article states that there are two areas in California that will be exempt from the reaching powers of this bill, the coastal zones and historic districts. The coastal zones extend from Oregon to Mexico and varies in width along the coast. There are numerous communities and many people who live within the coastal zone, many of which are very prosperous. My question is, do you know how will the 5G network work in these areas that are exempt from the bill? Is there any other alternative method of rollout implementation? I have no idea, but I've sent out some emails to see if I can find out. Also, I just wanted to mention just in from Jason Bawden-Smith regarding 5G. Jason writes, the more I research, the easier I feel it will be to avoid 5G as long as you don't use any activated devices and don't spend a lot of time downtown. We need to know more about what beamforming tech they will use. Think flashlight with adjustable scope if they use a narrow beam, easier than a broad beam. I've always forgot to mention to only use 3G networks on their phone. Disable 4G setting on phone for a 50% reduction or more reduction in exposure. Thanks, Jason. Hi, Catherine. How's this for butterfly effect? Long discussion. Then they end. Thanks for the introspective years, your subscriber, but this interstate trucker is soon to be put out of business by the latest mandate on the transportation industry, the EOBR mandate. So I will go home after realizing the contribution of most of my useful years to a blueprint of bylaws that were no benefit to me. I will seek something satisfying to do. I'm going to check out what the EOBR mandate is. I don't know. I never guessed a random encrypted email from someone you have never talked to may not be something you would open. And I don't blame you. I really don't have any reason to encrypt the last one. I've just been on a rampage of encrypting all my correspondence, which I also know is only but so effective anyways. But regardless, hi, Catherine. First, I want to say thank you for what you do. Your work has been truly enlightening to my consciousness. I've been trying to research everything I can get my hands on of this wacky geopolitical financial situation we find ourselves in for 15 years and feel I've learned more from you, Dr. Farrell, and a handful of others in the past year than the entire previous 14 years. I first discovered you and your work through the interviews on Dark Journalist. I just got the Solari Report and I've been plying through the interviews as fast as I can. It's crazy how quickly things are speeding up. Who knew the revolution is now? I knew in our lifetime, but thought we had quite a few more years until recently. You know little about me, so I own a small, tiny business making kombucha that I founded in 2012 with the intent of replacing soft drinks as many people's stomachs as possible. Have grown the business 40%+. Working hard to help create food sovereignty in my local market, which, thank God, we have a really strong local food movement all around us. Even Joel Salatin's famous farm polyface is right over the mountain. Getting ready to add distribution of other small local food brands to our deliveries. We've been forced by our revenue needs to work with a few Whole Foods and about 10 Wegmans, but have been able to keep over 80% of revenue coming from independently owned retailers around VA and DC. Have just gotten 21 acres locked up on a 10-year lease with purchase option and planning to move brewery operations there and start agriculture. I've been trying to figure out anything and everything I can on how to help get the truth out there. To that end, I'm writing to ask your permission to share my login to Solari with a few close friends and family members. People who need to be pushed into hearing this stuff are intelligent, logical, and will be receptive, but I could not convince to buy a subscription on their own just yet. Also, please let me know if there's anything I can do to help support your efforts in my world. It's okay to share a login with immediate family. We've always said please feel free to share your login with your immediate family. So if you want to treat it as a family subscription, that's fine. It's okay to share selective materials with a few close friends, but I ask that you not share their login. It's the same reason I don't ask you to give your kombucha away for free to my friends. We have to fund our overhead as well. And so the Solari Report must be self-supporting or else there won't be a Solari Report. And Anyway, so see if you can entice your friends with a few selective materials. And then remember, every Christmas we give the gift at Christmas, so you can designate somebody to get a pretty wonderful complimentary subscription over the period when we have the annual wrap-up. So, and of course, they can access all the information and download as much as they want during that period. So think about who you want to give the gift to, and we can satisfy your desire that way. Then somebody sends a link. The Clintons just keep on giving. Another Clinton killing. Yeah, there have been several in the last couple weeks, and my guess is I expect a steady stream. If you look at what was probably a pretty sizable pay-to-play network with major control files, including pedophilia, the fact that the Clintons didn't win leaves a lot of people exposed, and now with the pie shrinking, there's going to be all sorts of cleanup problems. So I think that situation is going to continue to deteriorate. Dear Catherine, you mentioned that integrity is the foundation of SLEAR. I was very happy to hear that. Thought I would pass along the short paper interview on integrity from morality and ethics. Would be interested in your feedback. Thank you very much. I will take a look. Dear Catherine, over the years, you've made a tremendous impact on me and my understanding of the way American and the world works, geopolitically and economically. This is the reason why I'd like to seek your guidance in this matter. If you feel whatever is relevant, appropriate for the SLEAR community, feel free to mention it on Ask Catherine. And then they sent a venture capital idea. Now, I'm not able to advise. What I would say is if you have a venture capital idea, I would check out the crowdfunding and venture capital library. There's some interviews that may be useful. If you want other SLEAR Report subscribers, just post it in subscriber input if you want other people to read it. I tend to get a lot of questions about venture capital and a request to help get funding. It's important to understand, for me to understand any venture capital or early startup, takes hundreds of hours to do proper due diligence on both the people and the investment. A proper due diligence can even run into the thousands of hours and require professional security firms to do background checks. So you're talking about a very major commitment of time and effort to just simply understand something and understand what it's worth and who's involved. And obviously, that's not something I can do very, very rarely. Somebody who I have tremendous confidence in to do due diligence will come to me with an idea, and I have complete faith in their ability to do due diligence, and they're putting money in. And that's a different situation because it saves me from having to do thousands of hours. Sometimes you can occasionally follow along. But the reality is I don't begin to have the bandwidth to look at a venture capital idea, let alone to do the due diligence on it. My time is fully committed to running SLEARI, and essentially SLEARI is independent media. That's what we do. We're not venture capital. We're not a new energy program. We're not a government. We're not a security firm. We're not a community developer. We're not a software developer. We're independent media. So what we can do is publish a URL or promote an idea or promote a person that I know and trust. But that's what we can do. So just keep in mind that we're independent media and not in these many other businesses, which are wonderful things to do. They're just not what we do. Hi, Catherine. I'm a huge fan of your story. I'd love it if you were able to get your life story into a book and then an audiobook. And then they give me a pitch about audible.com. Yes, I'd love to write a book. And in fact, that's on my list to do as soon as we launch the new website. My next big project will be writing a book. Catherine, you've spoken many times about where the missing money may have gone, one being the secret space program. But do you think that some of the missing money has been funneled to buy gold to back a future gold currency? Maybe a reason why it seems the price of gold has remained low despite rampant printing of the dollar. Keep the price of gold low, then hit the reset button with the global currency and let the price of gold explode. Some of the money could go into that, but there's way too much money that's disappeared for that to be the primary use. So I just don't see that as being a major part of the missing money. Could it have been in the mix? Absolutely, it could have been in the mix. But If you look at how much money has been disappeared, we're talking about something much bigger than that. Hi, Catherine. I'm looking out at beautiful unblemished blue skies again this morning. I haven't seen any global spraying activity in San Mateo since the beginning of July. Do I dare hope that the madness has stopped? Are you hearing from other subscribers about the global spraying situation in their areas? No, but I have noticed where I am, there's been a lot less. Lunch in Larkspur was great. We had a lunch with Catherine out in Larkspur, California. I enjoyed my companions greatly and followed vividly the lively cryptocurrency discussion that broke out. It appeared that we had at least two real experts at the table, which is not at all what I expected from Solaris subscribers. I've installed a Blue Shield Tesla Gold plug-in in my home and carry the portable. It's amazing how much better I feel. Hip pain is gone and my mood is lifted remarkably. I'm thinking clearly too. Thanks for your work with Jason Bowden-Smith, which is how I learned of it. You may be amused to hear that I'm thinking so clearly that one day I had a sudden and powerful aha moment. I was hit with a realization that we are in a spiritual war. Immediately after I realized that we're in a spiritual war, I remembered that every time you speak, you point out that we are in a spiritual war. Apparently, it took a while for me to wake up and really and truly hear the message. Keep pointing that out, Catherine. It's quite freeing and empowering when it finally sinks in. Yes, we are in a spiritual war. Catherine, a very important article examines a Department of Defense document which acknowledges the collapse of the unipolar world and its strategy for response. Thank you for sending it. I've posted it, and I want to study it more. It's really fascinating. But, of course, the folks at the military, there's plenty of smart people over there, and they know what they're grappling with. I thought the pushback on the budget increases for the military was very interesting. And what it says is there's going to have to be a revolution in to how we deploy resources in the military. Hi, Catherine. And I should just stop and say that has profound meaning for the fact that the Dow has significantly outperformed the GNP of the United States, because we've had a giant sucking sound of government money into propping up the stock market, and frankly, I think the DOD budget has been run much more to prop up the stock market and to provide business to private corporations than to really optimize the investment of our military resources. And so there's going to be a real tension now between hard performance and return on investment to the taxpayers versus, you know, what publicly traded stocks want in terms of subsidy out of the Department of Defense budget. So there's no doubt about it. The budget wars are upon us. Hi, Catherine. I've been watching you a lot on YouTube. Very impressed with what you and Joseph Farrell and Richard Dolan have to say about our world. Just watched you in 2013 when you told Greg Hunter that there would be no meltdown that year. 2% chance, I think you said. I stepped into the Solaris report about 2 years ago. And then a long description of their interest in China. They're writing a book about China. Very fascinating. Take care, Catherine. I love your work and I'm always looking to find more of what you have to say. Then another one. Hi, Catherine. I've been looking into creating networks to allow people to manage their own financial systems. I've been trying to get information out. They go on and they say, ask me about creating networks for freedom with mobile phones and mobile networks. Here's my problem. Right now, the telecommunication networks, all mobile networks, are deeply involved with entrainment. I don't see how entrainment and freedom mix. But if you're going to do something with mobile networks and mobile phones, you're going to have to grapple with mind control and entrainment technology. Another comment, I got a long message from somebody regarding the fact that the powers that be are putting up lots of satellites now, and claims the leadership is going to cancel all ground-based communication systems and run everything through satellites, and that's going to be how they assert total centralized control. And I have to read the material more. I don't have an opinion yet on it. I will say this. I think it's pretty dangerous to operate on an all-satellite system without redundancy, let alone systems on the ground. So I'm not sure if I was the leadership if I would do that. Now, that doesn't mean they're not doing it, but I'll look forward to reading that with more interest. And if anybody knows anything about that theory, let me know. Okay, that's it. For this week, a very good, rich Solaria report. Next week, we have Rambus working on the blockbuster chartology. Given that we're coming into the most dangerous part of the year for the equity markets, I can't wait to see what he has to say, but we'll be covering all the top markets. That will be the last part of the second quarter wrap-up, and again, we hope to have a PDF by the end of the month and then the hard copy. August 3rd, a great conversation with Harry Blaser, next up in the food series, about the Amazon Whole Foods deal. Harry's one of the top grocery experts, fresh food experts in the world, so you're really getting the inside poop from somebody who knows retail backwards and forwards, particularly for food. And as Amazon moves into the food markets, it's very interesting. And then a wonderful interview on August 10th with the founder and head of Minnesota-based Strong Towns, about lots of talk about the Go Local movement with Chuck Marone. So until next week, July 27th, I'll be speaking to you from New York City. Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.